I started some on child rearing, or I started a single one on child rearing. This is a follow-up to that, a different topic here, and this is it's very appropriate for the day as you look at the children that we have in our congregation on stage and all the relationships that we do have, is to talk about child rearing again, another part. And this part, or this time, we'll talk about the role of the father. The role of the father. Now, I didn't have time to change up the theme on my slide, so you won't be able to read the scriptures. We're only going to return to a few of them, though. I just needed this for a few of the diagrams. So just ignore the scriptures, and we'll look at some of the diagrams. But today I want to talk about the role of father, and just a few points, because, you know, when we look at this today, there's all kinds of books out there, and some of these are great. There's some great books and great tips and things like that. I remember when we were in college, it was this. There was this book, it was called Man of Steel and Velvet. And it was like, ooh, you got an edge and you're also soft. You know, this whole idea of this book, A Man of Steel and Velvet. And there's all kinds of books on there, How to Be a Father and all this kind of stuff, Wild at Heart. And, you know, I love Wild at Heart. Great book if you're a dad or a man and need to read a book that actually helps you understand what it is to be a man or masculinity and an adventure in life. That's an interesting book. But I want to talk about or any of those things today because there's some nice things and ideas that are in some of those, but that's not what we're going to talk about today. I think there's an all-out assault when we look at it on the father or men today. You know, men are often seen as, you know, I'm sitting on the couch drinking a beer all day long and just barking orders. Or, you know, the dads today, as you know, we heard in the sermonette too, are just angry. You know, anger's a big deal, a big issue, and this is all that happens. Or I don't know about you. I mean, every time I look at commercials, sometimes I'm looking at it going like, where are all the real men? You got guys with man buns that you just want to snip off with some scissors. And, you know, you got all kinds of role models that are just all over the board these days. And, you know, it seems like there's an all-out assault on what it is to be a father. And so I think it's worth today going through and finding out. You know, it has nothing to do with physical necessarily. You can be skinny and be a great dad. I don't mean it like that. I'm just saying the mentality and the mindset of a lot of the guys seems very, we're turning into a bunch of wimps, it feels like to me, mentally and strength-wise in the country after a while. So how do you find the right type of strength? How do you find the right type of things that we should do? I think there's some very simple instructions that we have that are in the Bible. Some very simple ones. And I'm only going to cover a section of scriptures today that's in Ephesians, really. We'll tie in a couple of other ones, but I'm only going to go through a few of them today because there's some very pertinent instructions in here. So let's start with this and turn back to Ephesians 5 and verse 22. 5 and verse 22, and we'll start there. And all of you are probably going, uh-oh, you're going to read this section of scripture? Oh boy, here we go. Let's read through this. First, let's go through 5:22 to chapter 6, verse 4. So this whole section is instruction regarding the family. And there's a lot of things that are in here for us to unpack that are very important. And I think it's important, though, to read this and understand, though, what the intent and the meaning of what he's saying here is. Because it's easy to read this section of scripture and go like, wow, that's really, really old school. That's what that sounds like. This is really an out-of-date thing. And I guarantee you, when you read through these, I know I do, you sit there and recoil a bit like, hey, I feel a little bit squeamish saying this out loud because it just, some of this doesn't seem to fit. But what's it really saying in these scriptures is important for us to get. So let's read through it first. Ephesians 5:22. starting 22, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And then it turns to the husband, says, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that he should be holy and without blemish. In verse 28, so husbands also ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife, loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to a wife, his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respect her husband. And then going on in chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long in the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. So a very instructional set of scriptures. And like I said, people today don't like these because all it sounds like is, oh, well, this is a big hierarchical thing that's going on here. And man's, you know, in charge of everybody and submit. And it misses the point of what is going on with this whole thing, because when God gives us principles like this, they're not just, they're never there to say, hey, somebody's better, or hey, you know, this person's over somebody. God gives us and sets in place principles that have spiritual things going on here. And that's what this says. I mean, and you can start to see some of this come out of here, come out of these scriptures. What's always interesting in this set of scriptures too is, you know, it says wives submit to your husbands. Guess what? The previous verse, 31, says submit to one another. Why do we gloss over that part? Like, we just kind of like, I didn't read it today. I guess I just am guilty of what I just said, aren't I? But verse 31 says, submit one to another, comes first. And if you actually read these scriptures here, there's no way that you could get anything out of it but submit one to another. And the way that these scriptures are describing it is the way that Christ did it. So these sets of scriptures, I think in the past too, have been used by different people, societies, churches, to perpetuate the abuse of women or the control of women. And that's not correct in the slightest of what's going on here. In fact, if you're doing that, you're not living these scriptures in the slightest. If that's the mentality, it's not about what these scriptures are. So submit to one another comes first in verse 31. And then it goes through and it gives it just in a certain order. So wives to the husbands. Then it says children to the parents, and addresses the younger, you know, to the older first, and then it addresses then. So, like, for example, say wives to the husbands, then it says husbands to the wives. Then it says children to the fathers or the parents, and then it says, you know, to the dad, to the children. So it's just, it's addressing it in this pattern is all it's doing. And then, you know, slaves to the owners and owners to the slaves. So every single thing in these sets of scriptures, when you actually weight them and look at them, are about submission to one another and the way that it's done. This is not an excuse for anything that says, hey, I'm a boss of you or something like that. And it's very important to understand that. Now, let's unpack the statements that are for men out of here to start with. So you may think, hey, I'm, you know, not a father, or I have no, don't have kids any longer. There's some very important principles just to unpack and to think about through all this anyway for all of us, husbands and wives. The three things that are said basically in here, it says, well, the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And then it says, secondly in there, husbands, love your wives. And then it says, as a third thing, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. So these are the basic ideas that are conveyed in these sets of scriptures, or these three things. Husband, head, as Christ is head. Husbands, love your wives. And then don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up. These are three topics for the men that are talked about here. Now, if we were to break this down, this is not super scientific, but if you break down, I think it's an interesting study to say, how much does he talk about each one of these topics in this sets of scriptures? Like, how many scriptures are devoted to those three things that I just said there, right? And if you look at it, it basically looks like this. There's nine verses in there that talk about loving your wife. That's more than 50% of the conversation. That's more than 50% of what's discussed in this section of verse. Bringing up your children, there's four. So 25% of it. Guess how much husbands at the head is discussed, right? There's three scriptures in there, right? That's all that is discussed in each one of those. Like, again, this is not scientific, but it's actually important to understand, like, when somebody, you know, when God's saying something, and if you ever hear him repeat something twice in the scriptures, it's, oh, maybe I should actually pay attention to that. And it's important to pay attention to when he brings up a part of the subject, that how much does he talk about it? You know, and this gives you a weighting of that. So if you look at these three areas, and this would be the rough view of it, you know, more than 50% of the conversation is about love your wife. Only, you know, 19-20% is about head. And we'll understand what head means as well, because I think we get that wrong. I think we completely get that wrong. But it's an interesting view. This gives you some idea of the weighting of how much and the emphasis that's put on each one of these different areas here. So let's go through each one of these. Let's unpack these three things and then just see, like, you know, what's in these scriptures, what it says here. So Ephesians 5:23 says, as we read before, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, let the wives be subject to their own husbands and everything. And then 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is a man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, this is hard to digest sometimes in our modern society. What is this talking about? Because it sounds very hierarchical, you know, and everybody resists that type of a model today, and there's an all-out assault on it. So, but, you know, we can't go to this ditch or that ditch, but what is this actually saying? This is really talking about a spiritual role here. If we look at, you know, a diagram, people read that and go, yep, there's a hierarchy, God, Christ, husband, wife. So wife has to go through the husband, you know, to get to Christ or to God or, you know, everything. You know, this is how people read that. And that's actually not at all what it says at all. If we look at the idea here, it says, as to the Lord is a very important point here. Because that means a number of things, as to the Lord. One is, just as the wife is submitting to Christ, you know, as a Lord, you know, has a direct relationship there, this is not a gatekeeper. In fact, if you ever hear anybody talking about they're a gatekeeper for you, that's not correct at all. Not a gatekeeper for somebody. A minister is not a gatekeeper for you to your salvation. A minister is here to teach and to lead you. They're not the key. Christ is the one and only door. You have a relationship, and if I don't point you to him and help you understand him, that's me. Nobody's your gatekeeper. And the same here. Husband's not a gatekeeper. You have to go through the husband. You have a direct relationship. And the idea as to the Lord, you know, means it means there's so many dimensions to this statement. As you do with the Lord. Also, the idea here is things of the Lord, things of God. Now, things that are about Christ and God. The idea here, when we read this word head, it's kind of a little misleading too, because it's setting up a hierarchy, and that's not what's going on here. Almost substitute the letter H with the letter L. It's lead, a leader. God wants the man, the man to lead, if he can, his family. He wants him to be a spiritual leader. Didn't say the woman can't do that, but he wants the man to spiritually lead. And how that's done is described right here as how Christ did it, as Christ did with his church. If you're not doing it as Christ did with his church, you're not doing it. So how did Christ do it? You know, Christ was never sitting on the couch with a beer, belching out orders. Woman, you know, go get me another beer. You know, you just would never picture that, would you? Right? Christ didn't do that. So as Christ did and as the Lord did, as the Lord does in the things of God and how he did in the model of it, is there's a beautiful thing there. If a man can be self-sacrificing as Christ did to the family in a number of ways, that's a beautiful thing. This is the model Christ set. Christ didn't set some other model. This is the only thing he did. He came and he taught patiently. He came and he sacrificed his life. He came and he loved. He came and he forgave. He came and he expended his life for us, them, his bride, his family. That's the model, as the Lord did, or as to the Lord, as the same. This is what it's talking about here. God does want the man to do that too. He has a pattern that he has to follow with his older brother of how he lives, and he wants the man to do the same for his family, for his wife. So the word head is slightly disingenuous in some ways. That's what we tend to think of as, hey, I'm in charge of you. I'm the boss of you. It's not I'm the boss of you at all. It's not like that. There's a leadership. There's a responsibility that God is asking you to step up to. And to lead, you have to be doing the things. You have to be, this is talking about in the spiritual things of the Lord. Spiritual soundness, spiritual emotional maturity, spiritually discussions and teaching, intercessory prayers for your family. Are you out there looking at, man, my family is getting attacked? Am I praying about that? Am I doing intercessory prayer? Am I engaged with all of that? Am I sacrificing my life for my family? This is all of the things that Christ did. This is the model that he's asking us to do. He just says, just as Christ did, he gave his life for the church. There is no other thing this is talking about here. This is what it's talking about. And so he wants a man to step up and do that. If a man doesn't step up and do that, there can be a problem, but a woman still has a direct relationship with Christ. So think about this: is you have an option in your life as a man. Are you going to step up, or are you just going to step out and let all the things happen? God wants you to step up. He's saying, this is what he's saying in these scriptures, is he wants you to lead. He wants you to, you know, be that spiritual leader. And, you know, a lot of us men, you know, and when you see that in a man doing that for his family, his wife, that's the thing that is very respectable to a woman, to be able to spiritually lead and to step up. And, you know, a lot of us men, we need to give our wives some target to shoot for, to respect something. You know, it's not just sitting there, you know, every time somebody gets out of line, I'm just wham, and this is it, and that's how you're leading. You see, all the ways that Christ dealt with the church was just very nurturing, sacrificial, giving, spiritually sound, teaching, guiding, you know, bringing people along. That's the role God wants you to step into. He's asking you as a man to do that. Do you know submission? And if you think about this whole thing here, God and Christ had to submit to the Father. You know, they were together at the beginning. You know, somebody had to make a decision to come down and die. Christ said, I will submit to the Father. You know, right up to the death, he says, please, Father, take this cup away from me. And God said, you know, this is, you know, no. He goes, but not my will, your will. He submitted to the Father to the death, right? Submission is a big, important thing to understand, because when we do to something that's a spiritual principle, then there's blessings that come from it, blessings in the family. There's blessings of Christ. You know, the entire world is saved. The whole plan that was set in motion, because it's a righteous path, the whole thing. So Christ had to submit himself. You see this. This isn't some struggle. Christ submitted. They both submit to each other. Two can't walk together unless they be agreed. There's a whole set of things when you think about how God and Christ did it. He's looking for that model. He's looking for that same type of a model in a family, that same type of a thing. So to lead, you have to do those things. This is talking about as to the Lord, things of the Lord in Christ, as Christ did it. So you, as a father, don't think about barking orders. Think about being spiritually sound. Think about being emotionally mature. Think about discussions and teachings. My wife does Bible studies at home all the time with the kids, which is great. I should be doing that. We should, as men, be talking, leading, living a life about it. We should be praying on behalf of family. We should be sacrificing these things. These are very, very important things. So there's nothing in here that says I'm the boss of you. There's everything in here that says I'm leading my family spiritually like Christ did and gave his life for. Right? And that's what it's talking about here. So, I mean, the question has to, you know, is begged that, you know, God and Christ both led like this in the same way. Whoops. But do you and I? Do you and I as a husband, do we have that same type of thing? Because you see, this whole model breaks down if you're not doing that. This is not a card that says, I get to be the dictator. This is a card that says, I get to follow Christ of how he did it. And that's when, you know, what people are submitting to. As you submit to the Lord like that, as they submit to things in the Lord. And I would, you know, even say, men, when you step out of that, you're not in your role. That's not in a spiritual role. You don't get to pull this card out. If you're abusing your wife, why do not submit to that? That is not a spiritual thing to submit to. Sorry. You don't get to pull that card out and say that. People have used this for that. That is absolutely false. If you are out of your role, you are not in this chain. You're not in that chain. But if you're in this chain, in this role where you're submitting and you're acting like Christ and God and the way he wants you to step up, there's blessings to your family with this. That's how this works. It's not a I dictate you card kind of a thing at all. And so this set of scripture, I think we take it out of context. I would, instead of saying head, I would almost say lead or leader. You have a responsibility that God wants you to step into. And what happens when we step out of that? You know, when we step out of that role, it's almost like we're just letting spiritual warfare happen to our families. It's almost like God is saying, hey, I want you as a man. I would like for you to step up and intercede and protect and ask for protection and lead the family and ask for these things. And it's almost like when we step out of this role and don't do it, it's open to attack. Now, does that mean that's, you know, there is no protection? No, absolutely not. But let's understand this. Let's read a scripture in Genesis 12. It illustrates this perfectly. This is the best story. I love this story. Genesis 12, verse 10. Genesis 12, verse 10. This is talking about Abraham and his wife. Genesis 12, and starting in verse 10, it says, now there was a famine in the land. And Abraham went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt that he said to Sarah, his wife, indeed, I know you're a woman of beauty and countenance. Therefore, it will happen when we go to the Egyptians and they see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. So please tell everybody that you're my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you. And then in verse 14, goes on to say, so it was when Abraham came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw this woman, that she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abraham well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. So you can see what's happening here. This is, when you look at that order of things that I was telling you before, Abraham's stepping out of his role. He is stepping to the side and saying, oh, I am not going to lead in this case spiritually, you know, looking to my head and asking for protection on my family and fighting for my wife or for my family. I'm not doing that. I'm kind of, let's just, you know, be cowardly and kind of step out of that and just say, hey, you know, it's my sister. I don't want to die. Right? And so you can see him kind of stepping out of this role. Now, look what's happening. And it's like now she is taken. She's over there. He didn't fight at all for her. And one of the main points to understand here, though, is, well, just because he did that, does that mean that the woman's not protected? No. Let's keep reading. Look at the next scripture because it's very important to understand. But it says, but the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with a great plague because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, you know, what is this you've done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister? I may have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. So this is the model. God wants the man to step up. If he doesn't, is the woman, I mean, she went through this ordeal and their families attacked and stuff, but God protected her here. She has a direct relationship with her Savior, Jesus Christ. No problem. That's not what this is. It's not a hierarchical thing. Can you see? It's not hierarchical. God wants Abraham to lead here, not to just step aside and go like, just let this happen. Just let it happen. It's almost like, you know, Pharaoh's the enemy. It's almost like you're saying, hey, let me just give my family to Pharaoh is what you're doing. Let me just kind of hand them over. Oh, God, could you bail us out again? Right? Could you bail us out again and again? And what God is asking the man to do when it says to lead, to be the head, is to spiritually be sound, to pray, to fight, to come in, to ask for intercession, to be the one that's the champion. So think about this. This example of Abraham and his wife, when you as a man are not doing that, you are just basically stepping aside, handing your family over, and let God save them again, and then he'll come back. God wants you to be part of that process. God wants you to lead spiritually. You're not their savior. Christ still is savior, but he wants you to lead that family through this path and help that and be one that prays for them, protects, and asks for protection. So don't be like Abraham. Don't be like Abraham. You know, we sit there and go like, oh, I'm just too hard. It's very hard. It's very, very hard. But don't be like Abraham and just hand your family over to the enemy. Let God bail them out. But you can see here, you see what I'm saying, that God still protects. Because otherwise, you know, if there's a widow or someone in the church whose husband is outside the church, then, you know, would they not be protected? If you think about this, no, there's always the protection there. So again, the role of head or lead is ask, God is asking the man, would you step up and act like Christ and intercede and help and give your life? Will you lead your family this way? That's what he's asking of these scriptures. That's what he's asking of these scriptures here. So think about this example of Abraham. Super clear how it works, right? Super interesting how it works. So don't be the wimp. Don't hand your family over to Pharaoh, right? All right, so the next part of those scriptures talks about bring up your children. So Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Again, hey, do you see the phrase, in the Lord? You know, if your parents are asking you to go set up a meth lab in your basement, then don't do that. But if your parents are teaching you things about the Bible and how to live, listen to that. Listen how to live in the Bible, in God's ways, in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Again, he addresses the younger, and then he addresses the parents. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and may live long on the earth. Right? That's a really good one. I have to think about this in life. Honor your father and mother. It's the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long. There's a spiritual promise there with that, that you would be blessed on this earth and that you would live a long life. And you know, there's times, you know, in life where you have to stop and go, it's really hard to what's happened to honor my parents. And it's true. And this doesn't mean that everything they do is right, but there is something here where this scripture makes me stop and think, okay, I need to, no matter how I feel, I need to do this because there is a spiritual principle there. I need to do this. And that's hard. If there is abuse and other things that have been involved in life, that's very, very hard. There doesn't mean you put yourself in harm's way, but there is still a, you know what, I will still do the best I can to honor, because there is a spiritual promise there for that will benefit me and my family and everything else as well. But that's, you know, it can be hard to do sometimes, but this is a great one. But the part I want to hone in on is verse 4, which is to the fathers. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training, in the admonition of the Lord. This is, if we break this down, the goal here, we actually read in Malachi 2 verse 15 says, but he did not make them one, but a remnant of the Spirit. And why one? He seeks godly offspring. So God is looking for, and he wants us to be able to raise and rear our family so that they are godly offspring, that he's looking for us to have families that follow his way, that he wants them in the kingdom. And that's where, you know, where that's the goal that God's looking for. So he's looking for us. If you think about it as a father, this is your mission. Again, you're not saving them, but you should teach and train them. This is, again, the same thing. You're leading them down a path. God's asking you to step into that role and asking you to do that. He also says, don't provoke them to wrath. The Greek, you know, says make angry, provoke, or exasperate, but bring them up, right, in the training, the admonition. So bring, the word there, nurture, nourish, training, the whole mind. You're training about life, the mind, the body, spiritual things. You're helping teach admonition, understanding, judging, discernment, wisdom, teaching them wisdom. This does not, again, I don't think you could read anything into here that says go just, you know, get on top of them and just keep harping on them. And it's talking about bring them, nurture, be nice, bring them up, nourish, give them an environment that they can thrive in, train them. Yes, teach. Some people are absent teaching and talking. Talk to them about things and spiritual things. You know, when you have a fresh mind, you either, it gets filled with things from the outside, or you also hear things from, you know, your parents. And you, in this case, specifically, the dad is talking about. And teach them wisdom. Teach them these things. Talk about these things. You know, they stick. They stick. It takes a long time. And, you know, if you're just harping and it becomes really painful to hear your grating voice and stuff, you're doing it not exactly right. Think about it like, hey, you know what, man, this is, I'm going to be positive. I'm going to give you a nurturing environment. I want to bring you up so that you thrive in life. Tell them that you'd love to see this. Teach them about the Bible, the principles, the things you've learned. Talk about wisdom, what it makes to live and work in life. And as they stumble through things, that's fine. You know, let's love our kids. Love them. You know, love our teenagers. Teenagers can be awkward. I was awkward. Super awkward. You can be awkward. So what? Let them stumble through. Let them figure things out in life. When I look at where my kids are versus where I was, they're like 10 light years past where I was, which is great. That's fantastic to see. So you want to do this, but the environment is very important. And it gives you a couple things. Don't make them angry. Don't make them frustrated, right? And a big part of this with dads that's important to understand, you know, is that you have to be living this, you have to be living the way first. You know, you can't just sit there and tell your kids do this while you're out drinking, smoking, and, you know, burping on the couch, right? It's like, I don't know if you've ever seen this. I've seen marriage advice given. I saw some TV shows, ladies giving marriage advice, and she's been divorced 4 times, and she's currently single. And I'm just kind of going like, why would I get marriage advice from you? How about the couple who's, you know, 85, had been married 60 years? Let me get some real stuff there. Or, you know, obviously, you know, dieting advice from someone who's 400 pounds. I'm not, you know, not saying something's wrong with somebody. I'm just saying, like, you want to be living it. You want to be have gone through it and know it. Or getting financial advice from a gambler. Pick, you know, you have to pick the right counselors that you have. And the idea of this is that, you know, if you're teaching your kids but you're not doing it, they see that. They know that. It only leads them to resent you, bitterness, distrust. They'll listen to you. They'll tell you the right thing to your ear, but they'll go do something else. They won't respect you. Right? So you have to be doing it first. And us dads, think about that. You have to be it. I can't go tell my kids to do something, and yet I'm just violating it all the time. They'll sit there and go like, yeah, Dad, you do it yourself. And they'll ignore you. They'll lose the respect. They'll stop listening. Right? So that is something that's important for us to line ourselves up. Work on ourselves and change and be something. Now, angry kids and dads is an important topic to think about. Because sometimes we just think this scripture just means, you know, we're just saying frustrating things. And it's true. I mean, think about this as a general path. You don't want to just, you know, every step your kids or your teenager does something wrong, you just get onto them for that. You want your kid to have a path where they have room to grow. You know, teen years is a good time to make mistakes. People who have to never make a mistake, make them when they get older. You know, let them grow. Let them change. Don't just be on every little thing and talk through this stuff. And, you know, when you talk and you teach and you nurture and you love, you'd be surprised how you get a dialogue going over time. And then it may take years, but years later, all of a sudden it clicks in. You go, yeah, this is, I totally do this. And I'm totally making a change. And you go, wow, that just kicked in. I have no idea how, but it kicked in. That's a great thing to see. So kids can get angry for a number of reasons, though. When dads are hypocritical, like I said, when the dads don't show love. You know, that's a hard thing. Show love. It's very easy to be a dad and be type A sometimes. And here's how it is. And you need to do this. And we're all logical and bull. But you know, it's important to show love. I've had to learn this big time. I can be pretty serious and pretty intense. And I've had to stop and go like, let me just not, you know, let me calm down and let me just figure out how to learn to love and to show that. And that's hard. Hard for me. Hard for a lot of dads. But hey, do it. It's good. Or when a dad's not present, that's a thing. Or when a dad is present, but he's not engaged. You know, when you're there, make the most of the time and be engaged if you can. Another way we make our kids angry, though, too, you know, besides frustrating their efforts and just being harsh all the time, is not setting boundaries is an opposite ditch we've swung into today, right? You know, in the past, we were all over our kids and setting every boundary and, you know, come to church and sit in this one spot and don't make a noise and, you know, for 2 hours for over 2 services and, you know, kids should be seen and not heard and all these types of things. We would just set umpteen thousand boundaries on them and then they hate church. Now we've gone to the opposite side where we have 0 boundaries. You know, let's just let them do whatever. Not setting a boundary is also not showing them. That actually will make a kid angry. We have 2 ditches, being overbearing and not giving enough direction. These are 2 ditches. They both produce anger in a kid. This one without any boundaries, what we have is a bunch of little we end up with a bunch of little punks running around who have no boundaries and start, you know, lashing out at other people and things like that. So there has to be setting enough boundaries and enforcing them. And you know what? A kid, when they know there's an edge and it's reasonable and they get it, they calm down, they relax. If you're overbearing, that makes them angry. If you don't have any boundaries, that makes them angry. So us as dads need to think about that. There's a nice balance here of figuring this out. Not too harsh and not too absent or no, you know, I'm just loving you. Got to figure both out. They have to know you love them deeply. They also have to know there's a boundary, there's an edge. When you put those two things together in the right way, this is a lifetime process to learn. Your kids will be, they will relax. They'll be happy, loving. They won't be angry kids either. So let me move on and just got a few minutes left and finish this up. The next part of this is husbands love your wife. And like I said, this is where the most of the time is spent here. It says, husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for her. Again, this is a sacrificial love. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, his flesh, and his bones. He talks about marriage, and he talks about the church. And then 33, even though he's talking about those things, he says, let you particularly love your wife. Let you, you know, love your wife. Most time is spent on this part right here. And we look at the words that are behind this. This is the word agape, or agapeo, which is a form of the word agape. And that's the type of a love that's a deliberate choice. It's not how you feel at the moment, right? And that's important to understand, because this is a choosing of love. This doesn't mean I hate the person. I'm just going to grit my teeth and I'm going to love them. It's don't let the frustrations, don't wherever you emotionally feel, ride your emotions. You choose. Nope, I'm going to set the tone and the pace. If you're in an argument, this is where I do horribly over the years, and I'm really trying to get better, is if you're in an argument, you be the one to do the right thing and lead it. You know, how many times we abdicate that to the wife, and then she steps in and she makes the peace. I do that horribly at times. I'm pretty type A, and I've had to try and soften that. And this is what it's saying. You choose. You be the one. I'm asking you to lead. I'm asking you to show the love and do it deliberate choice. So, okay. You know what? When you choose that, it's not just gritting the teeth. It actually produces the righteousness of God. It produces a spiritual outcome. You will see changes. You will see changes in your family if you live and model the way Christ did. Like it says, does Christ love the church? As Christ loved you and I, he gave his life. You know, the disciples, when he was on earth, didn't get it, did they? Could you live life with your family and your kids, even if they don't fully get it? Would you expend your lifeblood for that? Because you know what? It makes an impact. Those seeds were there. When God called, when they opened the mind, when things happened, they came back around and said, wow, this guy really did love us. Think about your model there. Because sometimes our kids don't appreciate our efforts. And maybe they do go do their own thing. But you know what? If you constantly love that way, the seeds will be planted. You never know what lines up in the time and the place where that comes back. The disciples didn't know it with Christ, but now they do. And guess who are the biggest proponents of his way when they received his spirit? Because they felt it from Christ. They felt how to live. Now they live it. So don't give up on that. Expend your life for your kids. One day, who knows? The seeds are there. The seeds are there. They'll come back. And then he who loves his wife loves himself is the last part of that scripture as well. Right? You know, and there's all kinds of quotes and things, but if a man makes a woman feel loved, safe, cherished, and valued, she'll build him an empire. Proverbs 31, great example. You know, if you love your wife, you love yourself. Is, you know, if you're just bitter and angry and everything else, then it just comes back as you're stumbling and stepping and falling, and everything about it is just not that smooth. If you love your life, you love yourself. You're loving your family. You're loving everything else. That's why, you know, even 50% of these sections of scriptures are spent time on that, or spend time on that part. Colossians 3, verse 19. I love this one. Colossians 3, verse 19. Husbands, love your wives. Don't be bitter towards them. That's something I struggle with, because for me, again, type A, get frustrated. I can get frustrated, and I've had to, it's not necessarily, I'm usually missing something. Oh, I didn't quite get how this works, or oh, you were saying that, but I get frustrated with the situations, and I've had to really, really just to back off. This is one of the most simple pieces of advice, and it's not 50,000 words. It's actually pretty simple. Love your wives, don't be bitter. Very, very, very relevant. Very, very good advice for a man, as we are men. Now, one thing also, men, here's a warning for us. When it talks about love your wife, you know, he who loves his wife loves himself as his own body. One of the big traps that we can get into today is addictions. And why is this so insidious? So this is addictions with anything. Drugs, alcohol, pornography is a huge thing today, because there's a cycle that happens here with the, you know, if you look at the addiction cycle where you're preoccupied with whatever it is, you're thinking about it. Ritualization of going through, oh, I might, and then have a compulsive behavior. And what results from that is you end up in a place of despair, self-loathing kind of a thing, right? So what comes out the bottom of that is self-loathing, self-hatred. And then because you feel so bad about yourself, you start to cycle over. Man, I feel horrible. I feel, you know, not that great. So then I drink, or then I do this because I want to feel better. This is an insidious tool. Satan uses this. And this is why we should stay away from those things, because if you don't love yourself, you're not going to love your wife. Right? If you can't get past and you're in self-loathing, you're not, you have no idea how to reach outside of yourself to love someone else. And so Satan wants us, especially men, let me just say, especially men, to get trapped into this cycle so that we end up in a cycle where we're just repeating this over and over and over, and we're just self-loathing, because you're not going to love your wife. You're not going to love your kids. You're going to lash out. You're going to be angry. You're going to be a lot of things. So when we look at, hey, well, no, this is just a small thing, or this is just a, really think about it from this standpoint. For you getting to a bad addiction cycle, let's break out of that, because you're not going to be able to reach out and properly love outside yourself. And this is a trap. This is a trap. Okay, let's conclude this with just a few more slides then. Now, you think about your role in life. When are we not in our role? If you take those sets of scriptures, like I said, 50% of the time, you know, love your wife, 26, bring up your children, 19, husband is head. If you think about what do we emphasize sometimes, you know, some people love to just, you know, my whole life is my kids. That's my whole life is my kids. I'm just bringing up my children. But they neglect the wife, and they don't step up to lead in the right way, but they just kind of expend their life only for the kids. That's out of whack. It looks like this, you know, the big blue is just the kids, and everything else kind of gets deprecated small. Also, if we look at it, when we're not in our roles, is sometimes people become dictators and they start saying, I am the head, and make sure you don't say anything. Make sure you respect me every day. Make sure that, you know, boom. And it becomes this over-domineering type of a thing. So what gets smaller is bringing up the children and loving the wife. And it's all about the man and how he's in charge and everything else. And you can almost see it looks like Pac-Man, right? You're eating up your family, basically. That's not the right role either. That's not the right balance of the role either. You know, also not in the role, sometimes people go like, oh, you know, I love my kids, I love my wife, and everything I'm doing is just for them. If this is you and everything is just for them, you might need to step up a little bit. Step into a role and lead as a man, spiritually. Step in and say, you know, I'm going to start teaching. I want to start, you know, I'm not just, oh, these are the most important. Like, I actually need to lead too. I need to lead. I need to show that example, that type of love as well. So that, which brings us all the way back to the original. In your role then is approximately this proportion, if you want to think about it that way. In your role during the week, more than 56% of the time, spend on thinking about loving your wife. If I can put it as simply. The next chunk is, you know, I need to bring my children up. And the other chunk, about 20%, is, you know, I need to step and lead in all of this type of stuff. And when you think about this and how this actually plays out and how it feels, it's the right balance. It's the right balance of making your family work. So when we unpack those scriptures, they look a little bit like, wow, this is old school and I hate these. There's something super valuable to pick out of these, though, and that's this. That's the amount of time that you expend your life as Christ did the church in these things. Guess what? A woman can submit to this pretty easily. It's not so hard. Not so hard, is it? Right? That's not hard to submit to. When you're a jerk, it is hard to submit to. So think about this. Loving your wife, bringing up your kids, stepping up and leading. It's those three things that this talks about. In closing scripture is this one, Colossians 3:18. Totally different set of scriptures, but it reiterates the exact same things. If you want to summarize how God talks about leading your family, he says, wives, submit to your own husbands as fitting in the Lord. Again, in the things of the Lord, as fitting, if he's doing the things of the Lord as well. Husbands, love your wives and don't be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. You see it reiterated, the exact same three things. So think about that. We as fathers, we lead our family. It's a very important part and a very important role in these instructions, which may seem simple in the Bible, are actually pretty profound. So think about that and let us lead our families.